This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Right now we want to speak with Kenton Nago of 750 Volts is the blog, and he joins us on the long line from his home in Northern Virginia. Good afternoon, Kenton.
Afternoon.
How are you doing?
Doing okay.
Now, we tried to get you earlier, and I think your sister said you were still at school.
Yeah, but, I had some things come up, but
well, that happens.
That's what you got to deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just telling folks, of course, that Kenton is perhaps one of the youngest, and at the same time, one of the most well-read political bloggers here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And the blog is 750volts.com.
It's KentonNago.com. I keep meaning to fix that, but KentonNago.com, and then you can find it over there. Or just Google it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is the one you got to Google. Google 750 volts, and then you'll find it. Kenton, what's your take on what's going on in the Virginia Senate race right now?
Well, I will say from my decidedly nonpartisan bent that Jim Webb has the upper hand. He's finally leading the polls instead of just being – he spent all of, I believe, September and October about 3 or 4 points behind. Now he's finally taking the lead in the latest polls, and the Allen campaign is, in my view, crashing and burning. The National Journal did a poll of insiders, both Republican and Democratic, and insiders of both parties said that Allen ran the worst campaign this year, on top of, that is, Catherine Harris. So things are bad. Things are definitely bad. And the best attack that Senator Allen can come up with is that, Jim Webb wrote some unsavory lines and may have cribbed a couple lines in one of his books. Well, for a guy who wanted to get us back to talking about the issues, he hasn't done a very good job.
And isn't that really surprising? We were talking about that with Chad Dotson, how surprising that is. Because, you know, if anybody knows how to run a good campaign and win, it's George Allen. And yet we've seen him make these mistakes that most of it he brought upon himself.
If there's anybody that should know how to run a campaign, it should be Dick Wadhams, his campaign manager. He was hailed after coming out of South Dakota. He knocked off Tom Daschle, and that takes quite a lot. And it's completely beyond us just to see Allen and the Wadhams campaign just implode. In the last 6 years in the Senate, the best thing George Allen can come up with is, Jim Webb wrote some things in his novels. It's kind of sad.
What about Webb's race? Because a lot of folks have been saying that this is the non-campaign, that he just one of the poorest campaigns for U.S. Senate in the country. That, you know, where has Webb been? Where are the yard signs? Where are the bumper stickers? Where can you go hear this guy? Where is he?
Webb's campaign is after a chaotic start, which is something you would expect from someone coming in from the outside, has definitely improved quite a bit. Up here in Northern Virginia, there are yard signs everywhere and bumper stickers. So he is pretty well organized up here, and I'd say that a lot of what the Webb campaign's momentum is just Allen imploding. I will admit that, but Jim Webb has finally began raking in the money last month, and now he's finally on the air with attack ads and things that we need to take down George Allen.
Kenton Nago is our guest. The blog is 750 volts. You can Google that and go to it. One of the most well-read political bloggers in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Kenton, what about, we were talking in the last half hour about, you know, do voters really know the issues for these two guys? Do you really know where George Allen stands on the war? Because, you know, a few months ago he was all for it. We're going to do exactly what Bush says to do. And then, you know, he gets closer to the elections and he sort of gets confusing. It's like, well, I don't really know where you stand anymore. And then do voters really know enough to vote, or are they voting against something?
I think they're voting against something because at this point, despite what Allen and Webb will have you believe, this campaign is no longer about the issues. Notice how Allen just put up an ad detail called record, and not once in his ad does he actually mention his record. Neither of the candidates are really talking, especially George Allen, he's not really talking about the issues, and since Webb has to respond to what Allen says, the discussion isn't really on a rack. I think George Allen's campaign knew that if they went back to the issues, they would be in big trouble because nationally in Virginia we're seeing that the war in Iraq is just not popular. It's not a popular enterprise to be supporting. And so for someone like Webb, who was early out against it, it would have been an advantage for him. So I don't really think the voters have a really good grasp thanks to any thanks to the campaigns. If they do, they obviously had to go looking. I think this year's attack season has turned off some moderate voters in the Senate because this has been the nastiest Senate race in the entire country. There's just no question about it.
Kenton Nago is our guest. The blog is 750 volts. What would you do? How would you have run the web campaign differently? I've talked to a lot of folks who said the web campaign this year is just one example after another of missed opportunities.
Well, I'm not one to second guess campaigns after the fact. The big thing now is it doesn't matter, thanks to George Allen. So, I really wouldn't have done anything different. I don't want to go back and Monday morning quarterback the web for Senate campaign. I think in light of what George Allen has done to himself, the web campaign has taken opportunity and done rather well.
Does you think Northern Virginia is going to be the region here that Northern Virginia voters are going to put Webb over the top on Tuesday?
Two key regions in this race will be Northern Virginia and Tidewater, which is the only really swing area. Northern Virginia, because Webb is going to win in Northern Virginia by at least 10 points. There's just no question about that. He will rout Allen in Fairfax in Loudoun, maybe Prince William, but definitely in Fairfax he will rout Allen. And so it's all about turnout up here. And we have a lot of military voters in Tidewater, a lot of swing voters in Tidewater that are currently breaking towards Webb. So if Webb can keep those voters on his side and turn out in Northern Virginia, he wins.
Kenton, what's your take on the second district race down in Virginia Beach? Larry Sabato came out today with his crystal ball predictions, and he actually said that Representative Thelma Drake, the Republican, would win re-election over Phil Kellum, which I find surprising because she's surging back because a lot of the polls through this campaign have put Phil Kellum way out in front.
Yeah, the latest polls have put last poll put Drake ahead, and the poll released 3 days before put Kellum ahead. So polling House races is a very, very unpredictable enterprise. So we really won't know until Election Day, but I do think that I wouldn't count Kellum out. The Kellum campaign, a lot of people inside the Democratic Party have been saying, it hasn't been as stellar as we had hoped, but I still think that in a national year such as this, Phil Kellum can still pull it off.
Kenton Nago is our guest. The blog is 750 volts. Kenton, there's a lot of folks out there, and a lot of them listening now, who are undecided. They're going to vote on Tuesday, but they still don't know for sure exactly who they should vote for in the U.S. Senate race here in Virginia. What do you say to convince them that Jim Webb should be the guy? Because I know he's your guy.
One word, Iraq. Never mind all this stuff about George Allen being racist and stepping in it and Macaca. Never mind that. Much as we love to talk about in the blogs, Jim Webb's biggest and strongest issue is Iraq. And George Allen has been there every step of the way in leading us to this disaster. He and George Bush have held hands, walking straight into this quagmire. And now there's no exit strategy. There's no way. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. We've been turning corners for years. Iraq. Just think about where this country is going and know that George Allen has been complicit in 97% of the time.
Kenton Nago is one of the most well-read political bloggers in the Commonwealth of Virginia. The blog is 750 volts. You can Google that and go right to it on the internet, on the superhighway, or is Georgia...
On the tubes.
Is Georgia... What did George Bush say? I get on the Google.
I get on the Google on Ted Stevens. And the internet is a series... The internet is a series of tubes through which you can stuff information. A truck.
Kenton, can we switch gears a minute and talk about the amendment here in Virginia, the marriage amendment, because I know you've written some on that, and just generally some broad strokes, your thoughts on this, the Marshall-Newman marriage amendment.
Well, I think for the first time we are seeing that there is actual concerted opposition to marriage amendments. We've been having the fat camera in our heads that in 2004 not a single one has gone down, and I think that in Virginia, one of the more conservative states in the nation, we can actually pull this off. We will say, look at the second sentence. It is the worst, most sloppily worded amendment of all the marriage amendments passed in the state. It would threaten all kinds of legal relationships, as you've probably heard by now. And I do believe that it's just gay baiting. Well, why else would you pass an amendment like this? No other reason for it.
Now, we had the Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling on this program not too long ago, and he said, you know, if you hear somebody telling you that it's got some language in the amendment that it's going to go too far, he said that's just patently false and they're just trying to mislead you and that that's not true. And why do you disagree with that?
Well, see, the main argument on the Republicans, on the conservative side, is that activist judges will stop at nothing to rule in favor of gay marriage. But they ignore the flip side, and this was put forth by one conservative judge whose name I can't recall. He wrote in an op-ed who said that activist judges, if we didn't want to talk about activist judges, let's flip this around. What will stop an activist judge from defining something as marriage so that it is affected by this amendment? The ironic thing that this amendment does is that the argument against judicial activism is that it takes the decision out of the hands of the legislature. But as soon as you put this constitutional amendment in, you put in the Constitution, and then it is now the judiciary's job, not the legislature. So they are, in effect, giving more power to the courts using the argument that they should give less power to the courts. What's to stop an activist judge from ruling the other way?
And it's interesting to point out, and as you did on your blog, that what happened in New Jersey, it was just the opposite. The judiciary branch told the legislative branch, you need to decide what's going on here.
Yeah, and I really think that this judicial activism argument is, judicial activism is just a buzzword, a boogie phrase, that if you throw at voters, they get scared. But really, no one really knows what it means. What is judicial activism? Is it Brown v. Board judicial activism? Is, you know, judges legislating from the bench? The other thing about judicial activism is that in Virginia, judges can actually be voted out by the legislature, and they have to come up, and they have to be voted on every single time. If a judge voted in favor of gay marriage, the Republican legislature would probably kick them out as soon as they got the opportunity. So there is a incentive to not be an activist judge in Virginia that there isn't in other states. So this amendment is wholly unnecessary. It is a re-ban on gay marriage again, and it would ban all kinds of other things. It's just not necessary.
Kenton, to go. The blog is 750 votes. Kenton, Larry Sabato is predicting that the Democrats will take both the House and the Senate, and he announced that today in his crystal ball prediction, which folks can read at the centerforpolitics.org. What happens then? What do you think, you know, from where you sit, what happens in the House? What happens in the Senate? What happens with Iraq? What happens with possible hearings? What do you see happening if the Democrats come back in 07 and they now control the House and Senate?
Well, I do see the Democrats will control the House and most likely will squeak by in the Senate with maybe 50 seats. But what a lot of the current Republicans are currently running around scaring people with notions of Speaker Pelosi. Oh my gosh, you're San Francisco liberal. You know, I will say right off the bat that Democrats will try to change things, but we got a Republican president, so he might actually pull out his veto pen. So I'm not expecting immediate change overnight, but I think the tempo for a pullout of Iraq will increase. I think that there will be actual real reforms in terms of lobbying once we have all these new congressmen in. I think that we will actually see not just cosmetic reforms, but actual real lobbying reform, you know, disclosure earmarks, and you got to tell us where the earmark is coming from and things like that. So I'm not seeing the apocalyptic scenarios that the Republicans are parroting.
Ken Nago, the author of 750 Volts, a political blog. You can go on the Google and find that. Would recommend that everybody read that fantastic writer. Kenton, any favorite moments from the from this campaign season?
Wow, favorite moments. Going back to the last question, one thing that a lot of people fear is impeachment. It will not happen. There's just not enough political will, even inside the Democratic Party.
And Pelosi has said that she won't impeach, right?
It will not happen. There's just no point in it at this juncture. There's no point. But favorite moments in the campaign. I remember seeing the little clip of George Allen on YouTube and going, this campaign just got interesting. but I let's see.
Do you think that ruined his chances for a presidential bid in 08?
Yeah, I think he botched it. And, you know, he may not actually come back to the Senate. You never know. But my my favorite moment campaigning actually came from last year, which is when I was out canvassing, and I knocked on a door, and they thought I was delivering Chinese food. So they were about to hand me $20, and they're like, where's the food? I'm like, I'm not here for Chinese food. Because, you know, they think, oh, look, he's Chinese. He must be bringing food. I don't know.
Kenton to go. The blog is 750 votes. Thank you so much, Kenton. And let's catch up after the elections.
All right.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.